Well, as many of you know, today is the last Sunday of Daryl and Kyle Record, our missionaries to Cambodia. So instead of preaching, Hiroshi-sensei basically set aside his time for Daryl to share with us some things about his mission, and they're going back on Tuesday. So we want to just ask Daryl to come on up and give us one more message before he leaves.
Hello, are we on? Okay, we're good. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we start. God, we just thank you for your blessings, your goodness, and we just thank you for the time that you've allowed us to come together. God, we just thank you for that no matter where we go and no matter what we do, that we're always in your hands and you always bless us, you always provide for us, and you meet our needs. God, I pray, God, that you will open our hearts as we talk together today, that you will help us to just feel your heart and just have an understanding of the way that you want to bless us and encourage us. So we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things is that I really like about the English service is I like at the bottom of the bulletin, it says, as you leave this place, you are entering the mission field. And I love that because I'm not the only missionary. Because I used to think that as I was growing up that I know I was a preacher's kid, and missionaries were those who came, told interesting stories, and dressed a little funny. And that's kind of true, is I came, and I tell interesting stories, and I dress a little funny. But we are all missionaries. There's no special class of the great for just certain people. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a missionary. And you have a special mission field that only you can reach. Is you may be the missionary to those okonomiyaki lovers in Hiroshima. You may be the missionary to those English students or the people in your real estate business, real estate customers or whoever. But you have access to people that only you have access to. That God has given you those people. There are people that they might not come and see Pastor Hiroshi. They might not email Pastor Kevin, or they might not give Pastor Chris or a call or anything, but they will talk to you. And so I want to talk to you as a missionary to missionary and encourage you in your work that you don't know how God can use you. You may never know until heaven how God can use you. And you may not know that the weaknesses that you have are the things that God intends to use. So in the end, there is no suffering for following Jesus. Yes, there is suffering. But the blessings and the joy that comes from the results that God works out of the sorrows that we have make us look back and say, you know, it was worth it. I wouldn't want to go through the pain again, but I wouldn't give up what I learned. And I would never give up. And I would go through the pain again in order to be the blessing that God wanted to use it for. So I want to talk not just from the head, as I'm an apologist, so it's easy for me to talk from the head and talk from the mind, and we can do that, but I want to talk from the heart today. So I just want to read together this passage. It's from Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. Okay, listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear a grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up, grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Which seed did which? When the sower had the seed in his hands, what did he do? He just threw it. Did he know which? It was very difficult for he just throwing seed. He didn't really know whether it was good soil or bad soil until it tried to come up. If it didn't come up, rocky soil. If it kind of came up, kind of had some weeds or too much sun or whatever. But there was some good soil. Now, there's different aspects of this that I can talk about. On one hand, is the good soil, I don't believe that the good soil just happens to be good soil. Just, oh, good soil. I believe that the good soil is good soil between a combination. Well, I come from a farming background, and good soil doesn't happen just by itself. It has to be plowed. It has to be fertilized. It has to be. And what was bad soil one year can be very good soil the next year. And so we don't just go and, oh, well, you know, I'm going to grow plants and, you know, I'm going to throw my seed on the sidewalk. Well, no, you need to prepare the soil. And that preparation happens as a combination of what the work of the Holy Spirit and what God is doing behind the scenes, but also it comes through what we're doing and what other believers are doing in the lives of those people. Those words is, there's evangelism, and evangelism is the wedding ceremony. But there's a need for pre-evangelism. That's like getting the first date. You know, and so there has to be a time of preparing the soil and removing those objections and removing those prejudices and things. And that happens as a combination of what God is doing in their heart, but what God is using us to do in their heart. So we can prepare, the soil needs to be prepared, but we don't necessarily know what preparation has gone on before us. We may talk to somebody, and I have talked to people, and wow, they're just ready. And, you know, they're just like, tell me about Jesus. I want to get saved now. But, and, you know, it's nice to say, well, you know, I can, as a missionary, get to check that one. Because, you know, that one did the wedding ceremony. But we didn't know that there were 5 or 6 or 10 other people that came before us that were good testimonies, good witnesses, and they prepared, and God used them, and the Holy Spirit worked in their hearts to prepare the soil. But they didn't know it. And that's one of the things that they challenged us when we went to Cambodia to become English teachers, is it okay if you work and you pour out your heart, you pour out your life, you pour out your souls for these people, and nothing happens? And then the next year, somebody gets off the plane, says hello, and gets to lead all of them to Christ, and, you know, is that okay? And it's really, as a body, we have to say, yeah, that's okay, because it really, it's not about the results. It's not about I get to claim somebody or whatever. So, but we don't know. That's the key thing, is we need to be faithful because we don't know. We need to plant the seeds. We need to prepare the soil. We need to be faithful, but we don't know. And many times there are some students that I've had that, and some people that I've encountered in Cambodia that I poured my heart and my soul and my blood almost, and, oh, the birds got it. But then there's others that I just didn't do a very good job technically. I did everything wrong, and yet they're walking for the Lord. So for those of you that have us, you know, I'll do my best to destroy any respect you have for me by the end of this message. If I can move to the next slide. Oh, okay, so I'm a missionary in Cambodia. I was there from 2000 to 2003. It borders Vietnam and Laos and Thailand. And this is my first team in 2000. And a bunch of different people from different backgrounds. There were, let me see, I was a Presbymeth the Babdecostal, because I don't know what I am. There was a Christian Reformed couple, Southern Baptist, Foursquare, and a Nazarene, all in the same team, living in the same house in kind of like this Big Brother Survivor kind of thing, except nobody got $1 million. And we couldn't kick anybody off the island, and we had to get along because we had to have the unity that we talked about from John 17 in order to be effective. But that was a situation that I was confronted with. We would not have been friends in the home country, but God chose us and put us together. So because of that, we had nothing really in common, but because we had Christ, we had everything we needed to have in common. And so I taught at the Royal University of Law and Economics. It didn't look this good. It's still a little freaky, but it didn't look this good at that time. There was no pavement in the parking lot, and sometimes the floods would come and they would raise and they would have to cancel classes because the school would flood. And there's still chickens. It looks nice in the picture, but there are still chickens running around the campus and some toilets underneath those, underneath the post, and because the thing's up on stilts. It's an interesting university. But this is one of the best and the brightest universities in the country, and I'm honored to be able to teach there. And some of the students that we dealt with, is that's a great thing, is in Cambodia, people want to learn English, and so they're willing to spend money and work hard just to spend time with you. They'll follow you home. You know, I've told the story about riding my bicycle and having people on the little scooters come up beside me to practice their English, which is a good way to die. Not necessarily the most effective way to learn English, but it's free. But as I said, you know, some of the students, you know, we could spend a lot of time, and some of them would go on and serve the Lord, and some would not, you know, but that's just life. And I know that you experienced that same discouragement and that same frustration in your own life. And I want to let you know that it happens to the professionals too. Okay, I know that it's kind of funny because I don't know whether I'm a pastor, missionary, or whatever, but but some people have weird respect for me, so I want to let you know that don't feel bad, but after this, you won't feel bad about any mistake you do. You'll feel much better about yourself, and I may need to leave. Okay, well, I'm going to tell a story that is in my newsletter, and some of you may have heard it, but I'll tell it in this context. But one of my teammates, this is Laura, she's a Japanese-American Hawaiian widow who came to Cambodia to teach English. She used to be a chemist, and her husband died, and she came there, and she's still there. And here she is riding side saddle on a Cambodian motorcycle taxi. Very safe, but it makes you feel closer to the Lord because you may see him if you fall off. And I can't recommend, if you come and visit me, you will not do this because you will not have a bag, because the thieves will grab your bag and drag you off. So don't do this because you'll see Jesus. But I think Laura is a special woman and she has extra angels around her. So security-wise, this is okay. But anyway, she met a motorcycle taxi driver named Pawnee, who came from the countryside to work as one of these taxi drivers. And he came to the International Service. It's the International Christian Assembly. It's very much like this, just a little bit bigger, but it has foreigner Christian missionaries from all over the world. You know, it's about 500 or 600 people, but he came there. It was smaller back in 2001, but he came there to practice his English, just like some of you came to gospel choir, you know, but whatever, you came, you know. It doesn't matter why you came, but God knew why you came, so there was no accidents with God anyway. But he made friends with some of the English teachers, and so he would come to our team house, kind of think the Big Brother thing, except without the cameras, and study English early in the morning, and study the Bible early in the morning, and study the Bible at night, twice a day, an hour a day. He wanted to practice English and study the Bible, and he would talk to whoever had time for him. And you know what? I went there to reach the students, and I really didn't take time with him. I was busy with other things, so I didn't take time to study the Bible. I was doing a master's degree, and I was teaching, and I was juggling various tropical diseases, and I was often annoyed because I would just be trying to relax and start my day, and I was always downstairs, so bing bong, I had to go open the gate, and it's always Pawnee. Pawnee's always there, and he's a great guy, but he's just kind of like the little brother I never had. And, you know, just, I wasn't that good to him. I really wasn't that good to him. I liked him, and I thought he was kind of funny, but I just didn't really click with him at all. Sorry, you know, Hudson Taylor would beat me if he heard me. But he came, and he was studying the Bible faithfully for a year, and Laura was the primary one who was teaching him and spending time with him and investing with him. Well, Pawnee, as I said, as Pawnee came from a village and that grows rice, and, you know, generally that village has, the water is scarce in that village. There was a drought. And at, you know, just kind of the poverty, it's not that wealthy. This is a grass thatch house, and they're looking through the wall. And this is actually would be considered middle class. Okay. So if you're not for sure about how your apartment is in Hiroshima, I can get you a great deal. I've got some real estate for you. But in this process, and I'll tell you the rest of the story later, but Pawnee became Christian, and he was Christian, and with him and Laura, they went to the village and, you know, began sharing. And one year there was a drought, and Pawnee's father said to Laura, if your God can bring the rain, our whole family will believe. And so through prayer and Laura presented it to our organizational conference, and people prayed. They donated a lot of money, and, well, God brought the rain, but then through the donation, they could begin to have evangelistic parties and things and evangelistic outreach. And some of the first Bible studies in that village, there weren't any Christians in that village, but they happened under Pawnee's family's house. And, you know, first the dad became Christian and some of the siblings, and then Pawnee's mom was opposed to it. But then God revealed himself to her in a dream, and then she became Christian, and some more of the family members became Christian, and then more and more of the neighbors, and, you know, now there's a vibrant church, and the revitalized churches, and a very impressive work of God. And I was just along, like, taking pictures. This is a cool story. And, wow, well, this is great. Laura has been so faithful. And so I had my little video camera and take pictures and just kind of like a reporter, but I was just observing. And, you know, Pawnee was this was a great story. And I was honored and happy to just observe it happening. And so here was the first evangelistic Thanksgiving party in March 2002. The first Christmas party in probably Christmas 2002. You know, otherwise, Pawnee's older sister, Sampoa, and her family became Christian because her son was sick, and she prayed and asked Jesus to heal him, and he got healed, and then she became a Christian. And Pawnee went on and founded a Christian NGO that reaches children at risk all over Cambodia. He's only maybe 26 years old, but he founded the organization and is working with Laura and is having a huge impact. And so just some of his kids that he's working with. And then he got married to Lita, And they just, on January 26th, they just had their first baby boy, Daniel. So Benjamin has an automatic Cambodian friend and going to be raising Cain and Tultumpong. You know, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm happy, but, you know, honestly, I need to turn off the video on this in case Pawnee sees it, but I'm relieved it's a boy instead of a girl because I'm just afraid, you know, I'm glad I didn't have a girl because I would just be so afraid, like all the Cambodian boys, you know, I have to, and I can't have a shotgun, and I don't know, it's just off the thing. So I praise the Lord, thank God I have a boy and Benjamin has a friend, so okay. So time goes on, and we returned to Cambodia in 2007, and all of these things have happened. That Pawnee's grown in the Lord, his village has had a revival, and he's married, and you know, all of these things, God is working, and he has a Christian NGO and amazing ministry. And you know, he came to me and said, oh yeah, you know, Daryl, you were the one that had that conversation that led me to Christ. What? I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said, yeah, and I had completely forgotten the conversation because it wasn't significant. It wasn't meaningful. It was pretty lame and sad. Here's what happened is, about that time before, and it's good, Kyle's not here, but she might watch the video. But anyway, she knows the story. Before that time, I had been involved in pursuing some girl from my organization. And she had just broken my heart. And I was just culture shocked and frustrated, and I just wanted to give up. I was ready to give up. And so one evening, I went out to have a burger with Pawnee, and he had a motorcycle. I didn't have a motorcycle, so I'm like, if you drive, I'll buy. So I kind of like, you know, he had free time, and I needed to ride to the restaurant on a Sunday night. So I'm like, and he was a friend, you know, we could talk, and we had a good time. But in that conversation, I told him, you know, what I was learning, and I was just sharing from the heart that, you know, I knew that women's love or romantic love could fail, but that even if you got the best, even if you had the right one, the perfect spouse, and you could live together in perfect happiness for the rest of your life, it's going to fail because you're going to die. And no matter, even if you did everything perfectly, it's still going to fail because they're not perfect. And so you can't put your hope in that because no matter what you do, it's going to fail. And even though I'm so thankful that I have Kyle, and Kyle is so much the right one for me, and I know I could never do any better, but we fail each other. But that Christ's love never fails. And that's what I shared with him. We ate our burgers. We went back, and he was also experiencing kind of a breakup and a letdown and a broken heart at the time. But that was the thing. That was the key, that after all of that planning and preparation of all the Bible studies, that was the key that he said that made him say, you know, Jesus, I'm going to follow you even more, that I know that your love is better than any woman's love. You know, and from that led through all of these other things. But I had no idea. It wasn't even a, you know, apologetics. I didn't get to use my apologetics. I didn't get to talk about the existence of God or the four spiritual laws. I just shared my heart and was there at the right time in the right place. And I had no idea. That conversation happened in 2001. And I had no idea that I had anything to do with his salvation until 2007. And then, in September 2008, just before we came, we went with a Japanese team, and I saw this marker, and I'm like, what's going on? And I got the rest of the story that after I left Cambodia in 2004, that they used the rest of the money that they collected to redig a canal that was, I think it's 2,005, actually 2,700 meters long, to bring water permanently to the village. See, Pawnee's dad was asking for rain for one season, but God gave him living water. But also through the generosity of the Christians and through the body of Christ working together, now they have a stable source of water for that village and the other village. And I have this on video, and I was actually videoing, and I was still getting the story of Laura. Wow, that was great. And while I'm videoing and I'm trying to get Laura to tell the story to the Japanese team from Tokyo Chapel, then Laura said, oh, yeah, on video. She's like, yeah, Daryl, you were the one. You were scheduled to speak at that conference, but you gave up your testimony time so that I can, and you for, I'm shy, and you forced me to share about Pawnee's father giving the challenge about the rain. And I'm like, I forgot. But so even in the things that we don't even remember, the things that we didn't do, that just being able to be led, I was, if I remember correctly, I was recovering from dengue fever at that conference, and I was scheduled to share, and I was weak, and I was discouraged, and I was still kind of bitter and heartbroken, you know, and I just was like, God just was like, Daryl, just don't speak, you don't have anything. Just make Laura speak. And I do remember that I made Laura speak, but it wasn't because of some greater thing. It was just I wasn't competent, but at least God revealed it enough for me to know it. But God used that. God used that. And so I want to encourage you guys that no matter how messed up, I mean, we can swap stories, and I'm not sure. I may be able to top some of you. Of no matter how messed up you think you are, and how weak and foolish you think you are, and how ineffective you think you are, it's possible with God you can be weak and foolish and ineffective, and God can still use you if you're there and you're available. You just have to be there, and you just have to be willing. As far as the who and the what, you can be Balaam's donkey and God can still speak through you, so just be a donkey if you have to, but don't be discouraged. So, I had no idea. And you know what? I bet you don't have any idea. You don't have any idea of the people that you've touched already. And you don't have any idea. Some of you are going through pain. And you don't have any idea how God is going to use that pain. You don't have any idea. Until we get to heaven and we get to see, people are going to come up to you and say, you know what? Thank you. Because God used you at that one time and you did this and that led to this and that led to this and that led to this. But you don't have any idea. So the important thing is to be faithful and to be available and to not give up no matter what. So I guess it's a question of when and who. And I love the using the who, because that's Benjamin's favorite new word. Is you say who and he says who and back and forth. And we make noises at each other all the time, but that's okay. But Matthew 25:37 through 40 says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. And so in heaven, before the judgment seat of Christ, and we could get technical about when and whatever, but the big picture of this and the main point of this is they don't know when. They did things that made an impact enough for Jesus Christ to recognize it in heaven, but they are saying when? When? And then the question is, one of the least of these brothers of mine, well, who is that? I did some commentary searches and nobody, we're not sure. So you know what? We don't know when we're supposed to be available, and we don't know who that we're supposed to be faithful and available to. So my suggestion is we should be faithful and available and Christ-like to everybody at every time just to make sure. You know, I could debate. I mean, I wish Benjamin was here because I'd keep saying who, and then he would say who back. But we'd spend a lot of time, and you need to edit the video. So it could be some people say, well, it's all needy persons in humanity. Okay, that may be. It's all Christians. It's all Jewish Christians. It's Christian missionaries. I like that one. You gotta be nice to the missionaries, but you know what? You're all missionaries. So the disciples, or I think it. We don't know. So let's be faithful. But ultimately, it comes down to this. Ephesians 6:7 says, "With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men." Let's just do things to God. Everything is an act of worship. Everything is an act of service. It's not just worship and service and loving God. It's not just coming to church and raising your hands and praising the Lord. That is worship. But as to the Lord, everything, whether you're preparing some form or dealing with some difficult customer or some difficult student or whatever you're doing, as to the Lord. And whatsoever, and then Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Same thing. We're not serving men. We're serving God, and God is using us to bless people in the process. But regardless of who we're, what we're doing it to the Lord. So let's just remember that. Now, I'll give you just an overview of kind of what we've done. And what we're looking at as we head back to Cambodia. This is our organization, Mission to Unreached People. This is our Cambodia team. So when I return, I will be part of the Field Leadership Council. That's kind of one of the three people that help make decisions for the good of the team and represent the team to the organization. And also a local supervisor, so I'll be working to encourage some of the other missionaries. And, you know, they're all more experienced and more capable than I am, so, you know, I think it's a good opportunity to just in the story of the children of Israel, when Joshua is fighting the battle and Moses is lifting up his hands, you know, those two guys that came and put the rock under him and kind of helped lift up his hands, that's kind of I see my role. I'll also be teaching advanced English and returning to the same place. And so with the advanced English program, it gives me a great opportunity to connect with students and not only teach them practical things of like TOEFL and business communication, but also to teach them Christian leadership materials. And I've been able to have some interesting conversations that I'm not for sure what the fruit will be until heaven with some of my students. Even one of them was a Buddhist monk, and, you know, where else would I have a chance for a Buddhist monk to talk to me about things except teaching English? You know, he might not talk to me otherwise, but so you just never know. So that's an opportunity to be available and to train them. And then also continue writing and, Lord willing, publishing and translating with Fount of Wisdom Publishing. To produce Christian materials. And, you know, just the Mormons and other cults are out there, and you know all about unity and discernment. So there is a need for just Christian materials to be able to equip the Christians so that they're not deceived and so that they can reach out more effectively to their community. Besides both of us taking care of Benjamin, and besides that, Kayo has to take care of juggling our finances and accountability and accounting in three different languages, three different languages, three different currencies, different exchange rates in two countries, and so different sources. So that's kind of one of the places where her gifts begin where mine end, because if I had to do it, well, doing the banking basically is bad for my sanctification. It really is. I mean, so she didn't believe me until I really messed it up. Before we went to the mission field, she made me do our checkbook or our banking, and I entered my salary as an expense instead of a credit. So it just turned our Quicken red. And I was just like, God, I know you're faithful. Choto, you just given up. And now no matter what we're doing, we're dead financially. And then she, 2 weeks later, she was like, Daryl, it was a stupid mistake. So the blessing is that I haven't had to do it. And especially since she has to do it in Japanese, then I'm thankful. God, I'm thankful that, thank the Lord that I don't have to do the accounting, because I don't have the sanctification to do it, but pray for her that she does. And both continued language study, and especially Kayo, but all of us, both of us will continue language study. And just hospitality ministry, just opportunities to reach out to other missionaries, kind of also that kind of goes along with my supervisor thing, but also other foreigners, my students. And even some of you met the lady here in the bottom corner. She worked with JICA, and she actually came here. But she worked with JICA, and she went to Cambodia, and in the process of fellowship and going to the church, she became a Christian, so in Cambodia. And so Kayo's still working to disciple her and encourage her. So just we never know. We don't really have a... We have a goal, but we don't have a target group, because we don't really know who God's going to send in our path. So if, yes, we have a focus and we work, but we're trying to be flexible so that we don't miss those that God is sending our ways. And then Kayo is also really has to work to supervise our helper, who actually turns out to be Pawnee's older sister, the one who became a Christian because her son was healed. She's our helper, and that's really important to have a helper in Cambodia, because we don't have things that you might take for granted, like health standards, safe food preparation. By the time you get your food, it's already contaminated, so you have to work and wash it really carefully, otherwise you just get sick every day. So Kayo has to oversee that, because you do have some markets, but the typical way that we have to get our food is, Sampo has to ride her bicycle, or Kayo would have to do this through the crazy traffic to some open-air markets with no air conditioning. This here is meat. I'm not for sure. Meat hanging on a rusty hook at about 100-degree temperatures, and you have to bargain for everything. And it's been cut with rusty knives and handled and pesticides, and oh, yeah, it's all good. But you're welcome to come to our house anytime for dinner. But we'll do our best to keep it clean, and we're thankful for cheap medical care. But, just those daily things that happen, Kayo's really involved with that. Then she has to come home and bring it back and clean it all and stuff. And so if you don't, but the good thing is Kayo gets to minister to and disciple and encourage Sampoa, and Sampoa gets to keep us healthy as best you can, and just make our life more bearable so that we can actually focus on some of the things that we need to do. So I just wanted to close just with a passage. One of my favorite passages is 1 Peter 3, and I'll read 15 through 18. But a lot of times I focus on a different aspect, but I'll read one more passage and we'll close. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for the sins. Christ died for the sins once for all, the righteous, the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Is as an apologist, I always talk about be ready to give the reason. But in this time, I want to talk about just always. Always be ready. Whether you know it, just be ready. Whether you're weak, be ready. If you're strong, be ready. If you're ready to give up and quit, be ready. No matter what, just be ready. Because Christ can use you if you're available, if you're flexible. And no matter how weak you feel, God can use you. And He is using you. It's not God can use you. God is using you. So just be aware of that. That whether you're on the plane to the Philippines or wherever, God can use you. Even in the worst of circumstances. And so we're just blessed by you guys. And we're just blessed to have a safe place where we can come. To refresh us, renew us, re-energize us, and keep us going in Cambodia. And so we're really blessed. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, we come before you again, and we just thank you for just your faithfulness, for your goodness, God, and the way that you use us in our weakness. You use us in our foolishness. You use us in our selfishness. You use us in our sinfulness. You use us in our pain, God. But we just ask, God, that you will help us to be more available so that you can use us more. God, so that you can use us even more mightily, God. But God, help us to see the way that you are using us and encourage us. Encourage the brothers and sisters here that you are working, that you aren't failing, and that no matter what happens and no matter how dark things seem, God, that you are on the throne. Be with us, God. Guide us as we go into our mission field, as we leave this place, go into our homes, our families, go into our workplaces. God, go everywhere we walk. Go onto the train with us, God, and use us. Even if it's just our smile, even if it's just the small attention that we give to a stranger that makes all the difference between life and death. God, we want to be used. And be with us as we go our separate ways, God, that you will be with us and guide us and keep us close to yourself until we meet again here, God, or until we meet in heaven. And we look forward to that opportunity where we can join with every nation, tribe, tongue, and just see the work that you've done. See the plan that you've accomplished and see how you've used us and used those around us for your kingdom, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.